Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, I would not either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dory Shafrir.
I'm Kate Spencer.
And we're not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Dory made a face.
That was jazzy.
You know, after doing this podcast for over 2 years, you got to experiment.
I hear you.
With the opening lines.
I hear you. And I appreciate it.
I was mid-stretch. I don't know.
I like it.
Thank you.
I like it. Well, this here is a mini episode where we hear from you. We share your comments and thoughts and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And while we do that, we also ask you to please remember that we are not experts. We are just podcast hosts. And we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us and hear some of our non-expert advice, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Let's do it, Dory.
Let's get into it. Because this first email is like kind of deep.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. What is with me? Okay. Yes. I literally had caffeine-free tea and yet I am behaving wild. A listener wrote to us. They said, the question about life's purpose. I think this is in reference to something I was rambling about. I have thought about this a lot, especially since turning 40. I'm not terribly religious, but I do like the idea from Jewish tradition that we are all obligated to, quote, repair the world or to make the world a better place, basically. But it's kind of hard to define what that truly means. Here's what I've landed on. I feel like my day-to-day actions in my community, in my neighborhood, and at the places where I spend my time have the most direct impact on others. And I also believe that we can send ripples of joy and peace and love out into our surroundings, and that the collective power of more of us doing that could become the driving force in the world instead of hate and fear. So maybe I can help repair this world by doing very simple things like be kind, smile and look people in the eye, look for the shared humanity in those around me, give people the benefit of the doubt, express love and cultivate joy, be grateful, be helpful, be mindful. I am not sure if people have a, quote, purpose or a reason they were born, but I do know that I want my life to be a positive light in this fucked up world. And if that is my legacy after I'm gone, then that's enough for me. So that's where I am with the whole existential crisis midlife situation. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
What a great point of view and a great reminder.
I love this.
Thank you, listener. I sometimes get bogged down by the, like, am I doing enough? Mm-hmm. Am I doing the right things? Like, I'm doing everything wrong and I'm hurting the world.
And then that can lead into, like, why am I here?
Yes. Like, what's the point of any of it? And I, you know, one thing I actually have been doing is canvassing for a measure that's very hyper local and volunteering and trying to get the word out about it. And that has felt very gratifying because it really impacts my community. And it has helped me kind of stay focused in front of me rather than like when I tend to like look at the broader world and feel immense overwhelm and sorrow. So I appreciate this so much.
I do too. Shall I read the next email?
Please do.
Okay. Hi, Kat and Dor, longtime listener here, first-time emailer. I wanted to talk about our favorite food group, lentils. As a person whose vegetarian parents immigrated to the U.S. from India, lentils were a staple of our daily diet in the form of dal. They are indeed a great source of vegetarian protein and nutrients. Much of the world, vegetarian or not, eats a lot of legumes as part of their daily diet. I point this out because it happens sometimes that Americans, quote, discover something that Indians or other cultures have been doing for eons and then proselytize about it and turn it into a marketing gimmick, e.g. yoga, turmeric, coconut oil. I don't think this was your intention in your last mini episode, and I know you each are on your own lentil journey, but it came off a bit like two white women discover lentils and tell everyone about them. Again, I'm pretty sure that was not your intention, but maybe something you want to be aware of. Anyway, I love the podcast, and I'm only writing this email because my two besties, who are also big fans of the pod, encouraged me to on our Galentine's Day conference call, where we, of course, discuss Forever 35. We love the pod, and I consider listening to it on my miserable commute as a form of self-care.
Listener, thank you.
Thank you for this email, listener. We really appreciate it.
Yes, we love being called in on this stuff. And I will say, was it our intention? No, but it's not the intention. It's the impact, right? So our language or the way we were talking about something did impact you and probably other people in that way. And so we really, really appreciate your feedback on this. Thank you.
I'm also really excited about your Galentine's Day conference call.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's really sweet.
Yeah, I don't do group calls with my friends.
Me neither.
But I would love to.
Yeah, it's really nice. So we're big fans of yours, listener. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you. All right. Hi, ladies. Love your podcast. Recently, I heard an episode where Kate mentioned a Netflix show that she loves and Dory agreed. I can't find the episode, but it was recent in the last 2 months. Could you please fill me in on the recommendations?
This kind of stumped me.
Don't you think it was Cheer?
Well, that's what I thought. Yes, that was my guess. But it's that or the only other show I watch is Schitt's Creek.
Which I don't like.
Right.
So it could not have been that.
Let's just say it's not that you don't like it. It just hasn't been for you yet.
Yes. And as I've said, I'm going to give it another chance.
Thank you.
You are so welcome.
So yes, Cheer, which is a documentary series.
A six-part series.
About cheerleading team, a squad at Navarro College in Texas, and the work that goes into competing on the national level and so much more. If that wasn't the show,
I don't know what else it could have been, especially in the last 2 months.
Yeah, because we've been busy reading and listening to audiobooks and watching TikTok. I don't know. Are you watching anything on Netflix now, or do you have a show recommendation now?
No, I've been so behind on everything because of moving and just like everything.
I mean, we can say that The Good Place is on Netflix.
Oh, yes, it is. It's also on Hulu.
Yeah. And you're a big
I am. I'm a big Good Place fan.
Oh, and someone just recommended a show to me. Now I'm forgetting the name, so I'm not even going to talk about it.
Okay.
But it's a Hulu show, and apparently it's fantastic. I don't know. Poldark, that's an old Dory fave.
You know, I never finished the TV series.
Just the book series?
Just the books, which I loved. But well, I couldn't totally get into the TV series, but maybe I'll give it another chance.
This kind of does transition us into this email that we got.
It sure does.
I'm going to read it because this is really directed at you.
Okay.
Dearest Dory and Kate, what am I supposed to do now that I finished the Maisie Dobbs series? I am going through such serious Dobbs withdrawals, and I blame you, Dory. How dare you recommend such a charming, thrilling, cozy mystery drama series? I've been reading a Maisie Dobbs novel constantly since last Easter, and now it's all over. Any recommendations?
First of all, I apologize.
How dare you?
How dare I? It is such a charming, thrilling, cozy mystery drama series. You have nailed it. I do have some recommendations since you're asking. If you want to stay in kind of cozy mystery land, Louise Penny's Armand Gamache series is one that I would recommend. I think there's something like 16 books.
Whoa!
So that should, you know, that should take you at least through, I don't know, 4th of July. I also really have been enjoying Charles Finch's Charles Lennox series. It's another, so the Armand Gamache series is set in a village in Quebec.
This is so you. I can't even, I can't even begin.
The okay. Charles Lennox series is set in Victorian England. And he's sort of he's not really Sherlock Holmes-esque. That's not fair to say. But it's quite charming. And there's also like many books. In a slightly different vein, a kind of more literary vein, are Kate Atkinson's Jackson Brodie books. And those kind of toe the line between being cozy and not cozy. And again, they're more literary. She's a more literary author, I think. But very enjoyable books. Now, if you want something a little more hard-boiled, I would say you want Robert Galbraith, who is the pen name of J.K. Rowling, her Cormoran Strike series, which takes place in the present day, and Cormoran Strike is a, you know, very, very troubled, hard-boiled London detective. And then there's also Tana French's Dublin Murder Squad series. So the Cormoran Strike books, I think there's 3 or 4 of those. And then Tana French's books, there's 6 of them. And apparently the Cormoran Strike books have been made into a BBC One series. I've not seen it. And the Dublin Murder Squad books were made into a Starz series that got like mixed reviews. I haven't watched it. But I enjoyed both of those. I also do really love Anthony Horowitz's mysteries. The Sentence is Death is his latest one.
Jeez.
He also wrote The Magpie Murders, which is really good. He writes these sort of like puzzle mysteries that are really enjoyable. I really, really like them. And then, you know, for something just a little cheesier, I always like a Michael Connelly. I like a Michael Connelly
He's
book.
Like the famous.
He wrote the Bosch series, which has like, you know, 25 books or something. I have not personally read the Bosch books, but he has this newer series focusing on a female detective named Renee Ballard. And he has the Ballard and Bosch books. So they're mostly Renee Ballard's books, but Bosch kind of shows up. And those are fun. Those are like a quick, fun read.
Those are great recommendations.
I mean, those are all in sort of like mystery detective, the mystery detective vein.
It is still a genre I've like barely read.
That's fine.
I know. I wish I was more into it. I think I've mentioned that was like my mom's favorite kind of book. And I just like, it is not cozy for me.
And that's fine.
I know. It is fine.
Truly.
I know.
Well, you know what? I'll read this next email.
Okay. Hold on.
So I don't usually make New Year's resolutions, but this year I really wanted to get back into reading. I've always loved to read, but throughout undergrad and now grad school and working, I never really found the time or desire. So this year I set out to read 25 books as I'm turning 25. I know you all have made book recs in the past, but I just finished Jasmine Guillory's The Wedding Date in under 24 hours. So good. And I knew Kate would have the perfect swoony, sexy book recommendations for what to read next. Also, any other books in other genres that either of you would suggest reading this year would be great.
Well, you just got a lot of mysteries.
You did.
From the old door over there. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, I would say one great place to start is if you like Jasmine's books, I hope you're following Jasmine on Instagram because she talks a lot about what she's reading and she's got great book recommendations.
Her newsletter is also great.
Yes. Oh, good point. So give Jasmine a follow because she reads romance, but also all sorts of other books and she reads lots of nonfiction that's really interesting and I get a lot of great recommendations from her. The book that is currently on my bedside table is called The Worst Best Man, and it is by Mia Sosa, and it just came out, and it is a romance. I have just dug into it, but I'm already hooked. I'm really enjoying it. One book that I've read recently that I really loved, a great romance, is Get a Life, Chloe Brown. That is by Talia Hebert. Really great, fun, well-written romance. I just loved it. No, look, Rebecca Weatherspoon is an author. She lives here in LA. She does sexy right. There's no other way to say it. And she has a new book coming out and it is called A Cowboy to Remember. And like, she just writes these really just it's just sexiness all around. I mean, look, if you Google this book and you just look at the cover, we've got a hot shirtless cowboy. Like, you know what you're getting. It's great. Rebecca's books are just really a fun, sexy read. I love the Hellcat Canyon series by Julianne Long.
Ooh.
It is, I don't know how to describe it, but it's just like pretty straightforward romance that's really fun. Alicia Rye's The Right Swipe is a really fun romance romp. The Hating Game by Sally Thorne. Mm-hmm. I've talked about it like a bagajillion times. I love it so much. I've read it. I read it over and over again. Red, White, and Royal Blue. Another great, really great.
Which I also enjoyed.
Yes. Sexy, romantic, really just a great read. And then, you know, my friends Christina Lauren, they write incredible swoony books, like period. And they've got so many to choose from. You're not going to go wrong. There are just so many great, this is like the tip of the iceberg. There are so many amazing people writing romance. People that I don't even know. Oh, I just downloaded, I'm really into my audiobooks right now. And Alyssa Cole has an original audiobook called The AI Who Loved Me.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet, but that's on my Audible lineup. So lots of books for you there. All right, Dory.
Let's take a break.
Break time.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. Mm-hmm. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like, fashion, I feel like, is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, I would not either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35. And we're back.
We are back. Well, it looks like we have a voicemail, Kate.
Yep.
Hey, Kate and Dory. I'm Kathy from Chicago, and I wanted to get your take on going gray. I'm 36, and I've colored my hair off and on for the last 10 years. The last time I had my hair done was August of 2019, and I'm about 3 inches of root growth with my natural color, which is a mix of light brown and ashy tones, sprinkles of gray, and probably more noticeable to me, honestly, than anyone else. I know my grow out will be easiest now since my overall gray is low, and my end game is to not be a slave to coloring my hair every couple of weeks as I get grayer. I've decided to say fuck it and stop coloring my hair. Friends have noticed my grow out as well as some of my grays, and when comparing our hair, I've told them that I'm not touching up my roots anymore. So many close friends said, wow, you're so brave, or wow, I just wish I could let myself go like that. I've been saving pictures of women who are also in their 30s who have these long, beautiful gray locks, pictures that I've saved for my day-to-day inspiration as well as my confidence building. I started following Ground Bray on Instagram, which has been a godsend, and when I get questions from friends, I show them these photos of these gorgeous silver vixens in their 30s, only to hear them say, wow, these women just look like healthy 60-year-olds. 60? Come on. I'd like to think that I have pretty youthful-looking skin, which I, of course, attribute to this pod, my religious use of rosehip oil, as well as never missing my monthly facial appointment. But I have to be real with myself, and I want to start embracing my gray hair. I also don't want people to look at me and say, wow, she looks like a healthy 60-year-old when I'm only 36. So with so much pressure for women to look youthful, how does one go gray gracefully? On a side note, I've been listening to your pod since December of 2018, at which time I found you both randomly. I started from the beginning and I've since caught up, and you both have become my weekly phone friends. I would love to hear your take on how to embrace the gray. Also, thank you for listening to my voicemail, which started off as an email, which turned into me reading an email on your voicemail. So much love from Chicago.
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 Welcome me. I want to visit you. I've never been.
Really?
Yeah. I've mentioned that like a million times on here, haven't I?
No.
I have never been to the Windy City.
Wow. I mean, I haven't been that many times. I've been 3 times.
I would love a reason. I would love to go and visit like as a tourist. Love to do a Forever 35 experience there. Love to eat your hot dogs and your pizzas.
Pizza's pretty good.
Not going to root for your baseball teams because I'm a Red Sox fan.
No, and you know what? I'm not going to go in the winter.
No, me neither.
Okay.
But otherwise, I'm in.
Yeah, same.
So you bring up just a question, I mean, about graying and hair, but also about the way we have been conditioned to believe that aging is not beautiful and that looking like we're 20 is the only way to exist. So how do you gray gracefully, I believe was the question. And I'm going to say it sounds like you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and we are very conditioned to cover up our grays. And so I hate to put the pressure, like the onus on you, but you going gray is going to make it easier for somebody else to buck beauty standards and do it. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it made me think about coloring my hair because I get highlights. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a ton of grays. They come out every now and then. My mom never colored her hair. Mm-hmm. And she really liked her salt and pepper gray hair. And so that has not been something, it wasn't something that I grew up as like an expectation or something I would do. But I do think for myself, my inclination would be to color my hair. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering how I will approach this when the time comes.
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't color your hair either.
I now highlight it.
Oh, that's right. You did get highlights.
And I'm kind of in the same boat as you with the grays. Like I have a few here and there, but I don't have enough that it's something I even feel like I need to think about.
Well, and this listener's speaking specifically too to going gray in their 30s.
Yeah.
And you know, that is something that then people get into the conversation of like, wow, you're so brave. And, you know, and I think like we have to be real about the fact that there are major pressures on all people.
Totally.
But we're talking specifically about our experiences as women, Dory and I, to remain looking, quote unquote, young, youthful, anti-aging, et cetera, et cetera. And I would love to talk to more people who have gone through this with their hair.
Yeah. I haven't known that many people to do it. I've known a couple who went gray very young and just said, fuck it, and were gray like in their 20s. We are in this period now where some of the youth are dyeing their hair gray.
Yes. The irony is not lost on any of us.
Which is like so funny to me. So I don't know. I don't have the answer. I'd love to hear from listeners about this.
Yeah. And I mean, there are people who go gray and it's, I mean, gray hair is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I also think like one thing I aspire to / am nowhere near there yet is embracing the physical changes of aging, mm-hmm. and embracing them as beautiful, not like as, you know, a ball and chain terrible thing happening. And yeah. that is like, that will take a massive shift in my thinking. I am, again, not there. But boy, it's something that I would love to really mm-hmm. touch and experience. Hmm. Another hair question.
Yeah.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm now 45 and have been coloring my hair an embarrassingly long time. For a while, I could stretch it out for months between salon visits. But now my roots come in like something out of the Fast and Furious franchise. And they're not just a little gray, but totally white. Think Santa. I totally dig and respect women who make the choice not to color their hair as they get older, but I'm just not there yet. This is a long way of saying I'm getting tired of spending hundreds of dollars a year on visits to the salon for color. Do you or other members of the Forever 35 community have tips regarding DIY hair color? I'm thinking both good brands and how-to ideas. I'm not looking to do anything ambitious. I have brown hair and I just want to continue to have brown hair.
Hmm.
I don't. This is one of those open it up to the listeners mm-hmm. situation for me personally, mm-hmm. because my immediate thought, the only DIY hair coloring I know of is that when I was a teenager, I used to dye my hair with Kool-Aid powder.
I used to dye my hair myself with like semi-permanent.
Yeah, box color.
Box color.
Me too.
I haven't done that in years. Also, and I would love to hear people who have experience with this weigh in, but my understanding is that root touch-ups are more difficult to do on your own than like a full head dye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I would love to, again, hear from other people about that.
Yeah, we unfortunately don't have experience.
I mean, the extent of my like home hair dyeing experience is like Claire All Nice and Easy.
Yeah, that's, I normally would just have gone to like Walgreens and yeah. picked out the color I wanted to be, and then I would have red hair.
Yeah.
And I still do that from time to time. Oh. I haven't done it in a while. I would mm-hmm. say like in the last 5 years, but yeah, I've always just done my own color. Now I get highlights. I can't do that myself.
Yeah.
The one time I tried to highlight my hair, I painted a blonde circle on my head.
Oh my God.
It was so awful.
What did you do?
My mom was very generous and paid for me. I was a teenager and she paid for me to get it fixed at a hair salon.
That's amazing.
It was so bonkers story. It was bonkers. All right. Let's take another break.
Okay.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
So let's dip into a voicemail, Dory.
Okay.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm also a Kate, and I live in Massachusetts, and I'm a really, really big fan of the show. So thanks for all you do. I am calling today. I feel like I'm doing all the right things, quote unquote, right, should, all those words. You know, taking care of myself, podcast really helped. And I had a big relationship end 7 months ago. And it's taken a lot to get over. And some days I feel awesome and some days I don't. And the past couple of days has definitely been those days because, my ex works across the street from me. So I'm like forced into these situations where I sometimes see him. I don't see him all that often, miraculously, given the proximity, but, you know, sometimes I'll like see his car or, in the case of a couple of days ago, I was in a coffee shop for a meeting and he walked in and waved to me. And anyway, it brought feelings. So I'm trying to, just want to hear from advice from you and maybe other listeners about like, what do you do to take care of yourselves when you could walk out your office door any day and potentially see somebody who you know, even in the best of circumstances, don't necessarily want to interact with because it, you know, can be hard. So that is it. Thank you so much for just being both of you. You're awesome. Bye.
The ex.
The ex across the street.
How do you, you know, I'm kind of the mindset that this is one of those things that time begins to just rub away the irritation of it. And you just become it's almost like exposure therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where unfortunately this is your reality. It's so prickly and uncomfortable and awkward and can bring up all the feelings. And I think as time progresses and you move forward in your life in all the ways, these things become less and less impactful. Doesn't mean it doesn't take a long time and feel super yucky as it's happening.
Yeah. I think that's true. I really do.
Ugh. Sorry.
And also, like, I guess what I would say is, like, you are in control of the situation.
Okay. I like where this is going.
Like, don't kind of feel like, oh my gosh, like, if I see him, I'm going to be like this puddle. Like, you get to dictate how you interact with him. If you don't want to interact with him, just walk away.
Yeah.
Turn around and walk away.
Yeah.
If you want to say hi to him, fine, but you don't have to. You can ignore him.
Hmm. I like that, Dory.
Just saying.
No, you're right. I mean, and look,
there's no rule that you have to be civil to your ex.
No.
Who works across the street. I'm sorry, but there isn't.
You and I have both dated coworkers, right? You've dated a coworker?
Yes.
Yeah, I've dated a coworker. I mean, quote unquote, dated.
Not my finest moment or idea.
Nor I. But we have both been in the position where those relationships have ended and then you have to go into work and work with that person, right?
In small workplaces.
Say aim.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not fun.
No.
And like, by all means, lean on your community.
Lean on your people.
Lean on your people and your pod people.
We are your pod people.
We're your pod people. But this will be a fun one. I would love to hear how other people have dealt with this one.
Yeah, same.
Because it's a doozy.
It is
and
a doozy.
And you can't, you know, you can't control the feelings that it brings up.
It also sucks because I feel like when there are these, it sounds like some kind of unresolved feelings. There's always like this little part of you that kind of wants to see him.
Oh, I know.
But doesn't.
And that's
but
the
you
worst.
Kind of do.
And you're like keeping the mental tab on how long it's been.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So I see you, listener. I have been where you are.
We empathize.
And we totally empathize. But you are in control of the situation.
Also, shout out to all the Kates from Boston. All right, we've got one more voicemail here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Hi, Kat and Dor. My name's Jessica. First off, Kate, your greeting to the voicemail line is so friendly and sounds so personal. I loved it. But I do have a question for you, for the two of you. And the question is this. How do you decide when it is time to replace a staple item in your closet? For example, I have some pants that I like from kind of a mid-tier high street brand. I think Ann Taylor or Talbot, something like that. Anyway, not heirloom pieces, but not fast fashion. I really like them, but I wear them a lot, and they're to the point where they're a little bit faded. And would someone who's just seeing the pants recognize them to be faded? Probably not. But, you know, I know that they don't look as crisp as they used to. Another example would be socks where the elastic just isn't great. You know, there's no holes in them, but they don't stay up great. Or like a bra that doesn't retain its shape or a sweater that has some pills. So things that aren't obviously stained, not ripped, they fit appropriately, but they just don't seem as fresh and pristine and, you know, as new as they did when you first got them. Certainly I want to look like someone who takes pride in my appearance, and I worry that things that, again, aren't stained or ripped or ruined, but just don't look new, honestly, that's really the best way to say it, just don't look new, are not presenting the outward appearance of myself that I would want. But then the caveat is, you know, I feel like a real jerk for getting rid of things that are totally usable, even if it's giving them to Goodwill or trying to sell them on Poshmark. It seems like a very, like it maybe doesn't square with my values of reduce and reuse and be sustainable and so forth. So very curious about your approaches to this issue. Thanks. Love the pod. Bye.
So this is interesting to me because I feel like she's talking about a couple different categories of clothes. Like there's a difference between getting rid of socks that don't stay up and like pants that are a little bit faded. Like if your socks don't stay up, they need to go. Whether that means you're recycling them or reusing them somehow, or I don't know, maybe you're just throwing them out. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing.
You could put rice and lavender into them and then make rice socks.
You could put rice and lavender in them and make rice socks. Thank you, Kate.
I love a rice sock.
Same with bras that have lost their shape.
Yeah.
I think those are, it's time for those to go.
The underwear that has the holes and then like the unravelly thing.
Yeah. Or underwear that's like so stretched out that you can't wear it anymore.
Yeah.
Like I do think those sorts of like undergarment type things, they do have a shelf life. So I would feel no compunction or shame about getting rid of those. Now, about other clothes, like, I feel like you're being hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I sell clothes on Poshmark that I don't like anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, oh, I could still wear this. I'm like, you know what? I never wear this. Like, I'm just going to sell it. And like, why is that any better or worse than selling it because it's a little faded?
Yeah, I agree. I think, I mean, I understand your question of like, how do I know when it's time to let something go? And then how do I do it in the way that is the least harmful?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, no, such we're never going to be perfect at this.
Totally.
It's like cut yourself a little bit of slack.
Yes.
Like those underpants that have lost stretch.
Yeah. Those have too much slack.
That's right. They've got too much. Don't need more. And also, you know, I would say too, we tend to notice the imperfections or flaws or wear in our garments way more than anybody else.
For sure.
And a faded pant seems just fine to me.
Yeah.
But
if it's bothering you.
Yeah, if it's bothering you, it's also okay to move on.
It's okay to move on. We give you permission.
Well, you sound like a very conscious consumer.
Totally.
And so I feel like you're going to be thoughtful in how you approach this stuff no matter what.
I agree.
Well, Dory,
that's it.
We've come to the end.
We've solved everything.
We want to express our gratitude for everybody who writes and calls us.
Yeah.
Thank you for including us in your lives.
Bye.